Well, hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Two Ways News. It's really great to be with you again. I'm Tony Payne,
and over there is Philip Jensen.
Philip, great to have you with us again and to be talking. We're kind of on a bit of a Ten Commandments kind of theme at the moment. Last week, we talked about Eric Liddell and the Sabbath, and we kind of made a bit of a reference to, isn't it funny how the Sabbath commandment pops up in reference to the Olympics? But yes, it's because you've been working on this Ten Commandments book, and you and I have been bouncing back and forward on it. And you were saying to me that you, of all places, you found the Sydney Morning Herald writing an article about the Ten Commandments.
Yes, I'd sent the Ten Commandments, my book, off to the publishers, to Matthias Media. I do commend Matthias Media to our friends. It's a great place to get good literature. Anyway, I sent it to them. And then I was looking at the Sydney Morning Herald, and they gave me the preface.
You didn't know you needed a preface.
I didn't know I needed a preface, but as soon as I saw this, I thought, that's it. I've got a preface to the book. So I've sent off the preface now to the book.
What was the Sydney Morning Herald doing talking about the Ten Commandments?
Well, it was I think the phrase is tongue-in-cheek. It was a humorous reference to the Ten Commandments. Really, it was an article about the travelling, about the right way of travelling. I don't read the travel columns much.
Me neither.
It's just a waste of space. But this one, I had 10 travel writers writing on their tips about what not to do when you're travelling.
Right.
And so 10 rules, 10 commandments on travel.
Do's and don'ts.
Mainly the don'ts.
So 10 don'ts for when you go travelling.
Yes. And each writer had a few paragraphs on the subject. And then there was this introduction which said, well, here are the 10 commandments on travel for today.
I've got a couple of paragraphs here that you sent me. Is this the introduction to it?
Yes.
Most of us would agree that the 10 commandments contain some sound advice. Irrespective of your religious persuasion, it's hard to argue with the premise that we shouldn't murder, steal, covet, or lie. Affairs are generally considered a no-no, and provided they haven't written you out of their will, you should always be nice to your parents.
Yes.
Well, that's pretty light-hearted, isn't it?
It was very light-hearted, and I think in any critique of it, you've got to remember it's a joke. There's a humour in it, and Christians mustn't be so sensitive that we can't laugh at ourselves. I don't want to be laughing at God, and I don't. But there is fun in life and fun in our quirky ways. But as soon as I saw the word Ten Commandments, of course, my eye was drawn to that article. It's clickbait for Christians to put the word Ten Commandments at the top. But when I thought about those couple of paragraphs, I thought, okay, it's fun. And it's meant to be fun, but it's also indicative. It's indicative of how the journalistic community thinks.
Sometimes it's your idle words that reveal what you really think and what's really in your heart. And these are kind of just fun, idle kind of, this would be a nice frame for this. We've got 10 rules. Instead of just saying 10 things not to do on holidays, I know, we'll call it the Ten Commandments.
Yes.
And it's in that sense, it's not very significant, but it's often just the things you say in fun or in passing that reveal something quite significant about you.
Well, yes, because they then had to introduce the Ten Commandments in those couple of paragraphs that you read. And it took me back to a mission I ran with John Chapman many years ago, and this person said they didn't need Jesus because they just kept the Ten Commandments. And Chapo then asked them, well, which commandments are those? And the person said, don't steal. And Chapo said, well, that's one. What are the others?
How far? Any others you can think of?
They got to about three. So Chapo said, you're going to be saved by keeping the three commandments, are you? The person said, yes, that's it. And then he set two to show them that they weren't keeping those either.
Yes.
But they didn't, I'm sorry to say, become Christians that day. They went away very
sad, like the rich young ruler.
You angry.
Okay.
I think, as it was. But it reminded me because, here we've cut down the commandments again.
We've got a few there, so it's hard to argue with the premise that we shouldn't murder, steal, covet, or lie.
Yeah, well, there's four. I worked on it then I think, okay, what's wrong with what's being said here? I mean, leave given aside the fact that it's fun.
Given that it's lighthearted.
It still is indicative of what is being thought.
Yes.
And so I had, what have I got, 7 or so points about it, you see. The first one being that there is still in our social conscience a thing called the Ten Commandments. But they exist kind of as a, without any context. Where do they come from? Who gave them? Under what circumstances? So there's no religious context. There's no historical context. They just are there, called the Ten Commandments.
They could be the 10 memes, for that matter. They could just be 10 cultural thought of
the 7 deadly sins.
Yeah.
They just exist. And I was amused that in nearly all the writers, the sub-editor had put it, the heading each time, I presume, as the sub-editor, "Thou shalt not."
Ah, right.
And so they exist in archaic English.
Mm.
You know, a newspaper which prides itself on its language, falsely these days, but they want to insist on "thou shalt not." And I've noticed over the years, university lecturers, when they quote the Bible, nearly always quote the King James Version. The fact that the vast majority of Bible readers do not use the King James Version is an irrelevance. The people who are most committed to it are the people who don't actually believe it.
Mm.
There are others who believe in the King James Version, and personally, frankly, I think it's one of the best translations that we've ever done. But, leave that aside, it's the unbeliever who sees the commandments of God being in Elizabethan English.
As something old, very old-fashioned.
Yes.
Like the whole conceit of this article is these old-fashioned things, you know. I know we're well beyond and well past them. We don't believe in them anymore. But when you think about it, they're kind of, you know, they're not too far wrong. They've got a bit of sound. What sound advice?
That's my second point I want to pick up on. That is, they're received as commandments, not as commandments, but as containing some sound advice. So I'm not obeying what the rules are. I'm just looking at the rules and saying, oh, there's sound advice there, therefore I'll accept that sound advice. So although I call them the Ten Commandments, what I really mean is these are the things I think are right.
Already think are right.
Yes.
On my own terms.
Which has got nothing to do with the commandments.
And so we could all agree, doesn't matter who you are, we could all agree that these things are, well, I'm not sure the premise, I don't think premise is quite the right word in that sentence, the way it's put, but we should agree that murdering, stealing and coveting and lying aren't fabulous.
I thought it was fascinating they put coveting.
Yes.
Because the whole society is built on coveting and no one ever complains about it much. You do away with the gambling industry, which at the moment our federal parliament is discussing whether to stop advertising gambling.
Especially gambling sites, gambling websites and so on.
Yes, in sporting things. And they can't do it because if they banned it, then public media would run into financial difficulties.
And so would all the sports. So the sports, the big sports are all driven, they get massive TV rights on the basis that it's all driven by advertising revenue for gambling companies. And so the sports are lobbying, the TV stations are lobbying, all the media is lobbying. There's big corporate Australia is lobbying them, don't, whatever you do, touch this, because the whole thing collapses without the gambling money.
Yes.
And so, yet, somehow we think coveting is not good. I was thinking, where would conversation be in Sydney dinner parties without coveting one another's houses and real estate?
The Sydney Morning Herald has articles every day on some mansion that you couldn't afford.
just make you dream.
Feeds coveting in its real estate all the time. So I have a suspicion that the author doesn't know what the word covet means.
I suspect not.
Anyway, so the third point I had was that he then gives a couple of others that you evaluate on the agreement of the basis of argument. And so it's generally considered a no-no, that is affairs, adultery. It's a general consideration. And then, likewise, honouring parents. You could do that, but it's not certain. You know, these are things that you could even discuss and disagree with the commandments.
Generally considered, not everyone would agree. Everyone would agree you don't murder people and steal or covet, whatever that means. But, and in generally speaking...
Adultery is okay. It's a no-no.
It's a bit of a no-no, but we all understand if you do it. But yes. It's not entirely socially acceptable.
Yes. If you actually move to a utilitarian philosophy of life, of creating, maximising happiness, adultery is one of the ones that maximises misery.
Indeed, yeah.
There's almost no more antisocial activity than adultery. And yet, because of the sexual revolution, we don't now want to say it's wrong. Or at least the journalists don't want to say it's wrong. And because of its universality or its widespread usage, they don't want to say it's wrong. But we're not dealing with the Ten Commandments at all now, are we? We're just talking about social morality of today.
And it's interesting that it's changed from adultery to affairs.
Affairs.
Which sounds yes. considerably less offensive than...
Yes.
Committing adultery.
Yes, so it's I just fell in love, which actually is I fell in lust. It's got nothing to do with love. You can't love your neighbour and commit adultery with his wife at the same time. That is just a nonsense. But the world's... if he wants to have an argument, generally consider, it just shows that the general consideration is actually very poor. It's pathetic, really. Anyway, then he says... Yeah, I want to say the Ten Commandments are reduced to common consensus, you know, the four, murder, but there are two more commandments that just have qualified support. Adultery is not wrong, just generally. And honouring parents, well, this is a joke, you know, provided they haven't written you out of their will. But it's not really a joke. That is, people have a... contract version of relationships. They have a transaction view of relationships, whereas the Bible, it's talking about honouring parents, is anti-transactional. It's got to do with I honour my parents for good or for ill. It's my duty and obligation to be doing that. And my parents, well, to remove honouring parents down to a transaction, if they are honourable, I think gives you real problems.
Or if they might potentially be the source of your funds in the future, then I'd better be nice to them.
That is really bad.
That's not honour at all.
No, that's dishonouring them just to think that way.
Indeed.
And then, of course, there are three commandments that are not mentioned at all.
Which ones would they be?
all the ones that refer to God. God does not feature in his Ten Commandments, which is why you can't have them, you see. But when you read the article later on, they did refer to God. So they talked about God is in the details, which is fascinating because the phrase really is the devil's in the details.
That's the phrase, yes.
But they made it as God is in the details. And the God they talked about, they went on with... The idols of when you travel to foreign countries and to different cultures, you'll see different religious practices. And what you've got to learn to do is to welcome in all the gods and the idols that you see. Even if you're not a religious person, you'll be enhanced in life by welcoming in the idols, which the commandments of God is, you shall have no other god beside me.
And you shall make no graven image of any kind,
there's number one,
either of a bird or anything else. No other gods and no idols.
Yes, there's number one, there's number two. The article goes on really to break both of those without any reference to it. And then it's left out the Sabbath day, which is the one we started with again. And it's fascinating, you see. You don't have the Sabbath day commandment because it's not, we don't agree that it contains sound advice and it's not generally considered to be important, presumably. But the Sabbath day is discussed there, though they don't know it's discussed there, because there's one little section, one of the advices of one of the travel writers is, when you're travelling, make sure you have holidays. Make sure you take days off from travelling when you rest a little bit.
to rest in the midst of your rest.
Yes.
Yes, because it's exhausting travelling from place to place.
Travelling is not resting, so take rest. And I thought, well, that's called the Sabbath. Here's the one that you're actually promoting in your article, but you're leaving out completely. And so, yes, it's most of the advice, by the way, in the article, I'd agree with about travel tips. A lot of it's about being polite to the people you go to. It's their country. And they've got their way of doing things, and be observant to them and be polite to them and make them want to have tourists rather than resenting tourists by our behaviour, etc. All kinds of things that I think were actually good tips in travel.
Love your neighbour as yourself, you might say.
It was. It wasn't a bad article. But it's couched in this humorous view of the commandments. But they don't realise, in couching it in the humorous view, they are revealing their total godlessness, their total lack of understanding the commandments, the real reason why I need to write a book on the Ten Commandments. Oh, I've done that already, haven't it? Speed it up, publishers. We need it in Australia, because people don't understand what the commandments were, who gave them, why, how they apply in modern life and society. They don't get it. They're just the thou shalt nots of yesteryear, which we don't know what they are, we don't know what they mean. It doesn't matter, because we just make fun of them.
And it's interesting that in the understanding that's revealed in this humorous take, is very ahistorical. It's like these are just 10... kind of random cultural things that exist in our cultural memory, but there's no sense that they were laws that arose or were given at a time in history, by God in history, that they were given to Israel as part of God's great story of redemption, or that in any sense they belong in history. They are simply just kind of cultural artifacts.
Yes, let alone Jesus' usage of them and application of them and understanding of them for Christians.
Yes.
And that they are fundamental to the structure of our society and culture. It's a level of journalistic ignorance.
It's civilizational ignorance too, isn't it? It's just not understanding where we've come from.
Yes.
Or what part these words, these 10 words, have had in our culture. Because they have not only arisen in history and shaped the history that followed, the reason that they're of abiding significance is they describe something of the nature of God's world and what righteousness looks like in God's world. They arise in history, but they're not just simply devised from historical kind of accidents. They arise out of and kind of reflect the nature of something that's deeper and more abiding, which is the way God's made the world.
Yes, and therefore our enjoyment. Whereas it's presented almost like these are the nasty things that you have to endure, rather than these are the good things that you should do. That the law is for our good. I mean, there's even a paragraph there. One of the person uses the Adam and Eve account to talk about, you know, life and the like. And almost everything they say about Adam and Eve is wrong. In this, well, you know, eating an apple. And the idea really was that Adam and Eve had a good time in the garden when they were eating the apple. And this wink, wink is part of the fun of travel. And you haven't understood anything. There's this need or this usage of biblical reference in such a way as to deny almost everything the Bible's saying. So, yes, there is this cultural hangover. We've got a word, Adam, another word, Eve.
All they mean to us is a kind of a cultural memory of temptation, being naughty, eating an apple, doing the wrong thing, which we kind of celebrate.
Yes.
Which the article celebrated.
That, yeah, that's right.
Being a bit naughty, doing maybe transgressing a little bit.
That's right.
This is part of travel.
Yes. And so, I mean, in one sense, you know, I'm against censorship. So I'm not saying they shouldn't be allowed to write those things. You see, because it's revealing.
Hmm.
It's, here are 10 writers who have collaborated together on an article that reveals that between the 10 of them, they haven't got the foggiest clue about the Bible. They've just got some cultural memory.
A very vague one by the sound of it.
And a very vague one. And the fact that, you know, there's not a horde of people writing and complaining, what's the point? We've given up. The Herald never listens to complaints. So, but I thought of the Psalms because you mentioned to me when we were writing this book on the Ten Commandments, Tony, you did mention to me about the Psalms, and I think it was Psalm 119. And so I didn't want to rip off your idea, so I remembered Psalm 19.
Just as good, except shorter.
Yes, and its attitude to the law. So how about you read some of it for us? Pick it up, say, verse 7.
Yeah. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward.
Isn't it sad that our culture is missing out on these wonderful things that God's given us? But if you don't read the law and you don't pay attention to it, you miss out on the blessings of God. How about we pray? Father in heaven, we thank and praise you for giving us the law. We thank you, Father, that you who rescued Israel taught Israel how to live, that the nations might see your wisdom, your righteousness, that they might see that you were Israel's God, and Israel was your people. And out of the jealousy, Father, the envy of what they have, that we might come through the great work of Jesus fulfilling the law for us, that we who are even not Jews might come to see the great beauty, the wonder, the pleasure, the value of having your law given to us. Help us, please, Father, to understand your law, that we might live to your praise and your glory, and we ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.